Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr.
All right, Dave, we got a fun one today. Looking forward to chatting with you about this one. So, first of all, before I jump into it, how's it going?
Good, senor. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. I don't want to tell you what a beautiful sunny day it is here in Arizona with what you're having to deal with weather-wise right now.
If you send me pictures on Instagram of really good-looking burritos and tacos, I will find you.
Note to self. Gotcha. All right. So let's just jump into it. Everybody is here to listen to us talk about digital marketing, not necessarily burritos, although I could talk about burritos for the next 20 minutes. But
future topic.
Yes. So what Dave and I have been wanting to jump into for a little while now is the pros and cons of the paid stuff scratch all that. Let's just start off by the pros and cons of buying likes, followers, and links. There's no easy way to get into that because, you know, there is a whole world out there, a dark side of this industry of people profiting from buying links from fake followers and fake tweets and fake, you know, Instagram followers and everything. And so that's really what we wanted to jump into today and, you know, give you kind of an idea. And so for anyone that's listening, what we wanted to do is give you guys some pros and some cons just so you can make your own decision. We're not going to tell you one way or another, you know, what you should do. You guys are big enough and old enough to figure this out on your own. But hopefully, you know, after hearing the discussion from Dave and I on the pros and cons, you'll be able to make some more educated decisions, if you will. And so with that very awkward introduction, Dave, start us off.
So I flipped a coin in my head and I'm going to take pros.
Oh, all right.
You are going to take cons.
Yeah, it works for me.
So we'll just start with recently in the news, there was even some story of, you know, some company getting in trouble for selling retweets and stuff. If it's helping, you know, inflate, I don't want to say inflate, not being a very good pro person. if it's helping reach a larger audience, I don't see what the point, like why it's bad.
So
as far as quote unquote paying for retweets or something.
But what happens, Dave, when that person is called out or caught? Was it worth what was previously done or purchased? You see what I'm saying?
Maybe.
Maybe. And so again, that's just where you know, where this whole discussion comes from, because, you know, I'm, you know, with what you said, I'm not being very good with the whole pros part of it, but yeah, you know, forever, you know, with, when it came to buying links, for example, I can't remember the guy in our industry that would always say it. I think it might've been Todd, Oilman, but, you know, he was saying, as long as there's an ROI in buying links, I'm going to buy links. And so, you know, kind of to your point, I guess if the fake numbers, if you will, or the inflation, as you tried to use, is doing something. That's why, you know, as long as it's doing something, people are going to continue to use it, you know? So what can we do to combat that?
You could look at the engagement, but you could also look at, there's various tools out there. I don't know of any off the top of my head, but I used to use Follower Wonk, I think is coming back. But there's various tools that would say what percentage of a person's followers are, I call them like eggs or eggheads or like just things. But there's also different, if it's John Smith 41129. Interesting. Okay. Let's go look at John Smith's account. There's a lot of them that, you know, just look spammy.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that you had mentioned was, you just briefly said something about engagement. And so it got me thinking about, you know, two different scenarios. And, you know, like there's some Instagram followers or some Instagram accounts, for example, that have millions of followers. Okay. And the actual interactions on them or the amount of engagement that they get, you know, they may have millions of followers or even hundreds of thousands of followers, and they have like one or two comments.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I know some teenage girls that have some micro influencer accounts that they may only have, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 people following them, but they have 700, 900 comments and the same amount of likes and engage, like the engagement is just through the roof. And so that's something I think that people have to do a better job of paying attention to. And so, you know, if you're needing the numbers, you know, if you're trying to inflate them just to make yourself look better or call yourself that Twitter guru or that influencer or whatever, you know, I think that's one of the ways that we can fight that, you know, just like you said, just, you know, do a little bit of due diligence and research and figure out, hey, what kind of engagement are these people getting? Are they getting any kind of interaction? Like, is this person, this so-called influencer, you know, going to bring anything to the table to me?
Yeah. I mean, they can, you can fake it till you make it as if you're trying to be an influencer, but as a business, I don't see why you'd want to inflate your followers on Facebook or Twitter and try to have the largest quote unquote audience if it's all fake.
Yeah.
Or even Instagram, like just to say you have 5,000 people, but if they don't engage, what's the point?
You know what this totally reminds me of, and maybe we should have started off the discussion with it, but it reminds me of that fascinating article that I read a couple weeks ago, and I know that you probably did too, because it was going through Facebook, but about the number one rated restaurant in London, TripAdvisor. Yep. Was actually a fake restaurant that didn't even exist, and it became the number one rated restaurant in London.
Yes, I did see that.
So to me, that shows you the power of just the, you know, the internet and the deception, if you will, the just how easy it is to play the game, so to speak, to manipulate the system, whether it's buying links, buying reviews, buying followers, buying tweets, buying whatever. Basically, we'll go ahead and drop a link. You know, for anyone that's listening, we'll drop a link to the article or the video where you could read about it. Seriously, one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen. The guy actually created a number one listing on TripAdvisor from an idea that, you know, he wanted to prove that he could do it, and it was all fake. And he actually ended up having to create a real restaurant and bringing people in. And it was so funny because it was from what I was looking at, it looked like it was just horrible. And people were, because it was so it and the so thing to do, like people were asking him for reservations for again, you know, to come back again. And seriously, one of the most fascinating things I've seen in a long time, but it goes back to the point of this whole conversation is they work. Buying links works. Yeah, buying reviews work. And the thing is, we're saying all this, that it works until it doesn't, until right. You get caught and until you get the smackdown. And so, you know, it's like I was at a, you know, what's one of the things that Yelp hates the most, Dave, is when the business owners, you know, try to incentivize or ask for reviews. And I was at a thing the other day, you know, like an escape room thing. And part of the video process was, they're basically trying to incentivize you and asking you for a review. And I just had to laugh at it. And not anyone else in the group that I was with is in internet marketing and they didn't know about it. But I was all, oh, they're breaking the Yelp's terms of service. And everyone looked at me like I was strange. And anyway, but you know, it's just one of those things. And again, you know, it's going to work until Yelp figures out what they're doing or Google figures out what they're doing or whoever, just insert whatever industry and whatever technique you're using. And, you know, buying links may have worked for you for the last 10 years, but then you may get a competitor that all of a sudden is savvy. Whereas all the other competitors that you were going up against weren't, And this guy may see that what you're doing, and he may report you, or you may get ousted, or something may happen. And what you were doing, you know, there may be an algorithm change, and what you were doing that was working for so long, I don't care however long it was, all of a sudden is not working. And so I guess, Dave, the reason that I'm talking all this and bringing it up so much is, how do you know when all that is worth it? Like, if it got me 10 years of good business, but now I'm dead in the water, like, you know, was it worth it for those 10 years? Or like, you know, how do we go about knowing were the risks worth the rewards? You know what I mean?
I think it depends on the business. I mean, if you were able to buy links 10 years ago and you're in an industry or a vertical where Google just hasn't really closely looked, like, you know, not payday loans, or, you know, some other really tough, like casinos and, you know, PPC, Pills Porn Casino.
Lawyers.
Yeah, like some really cutthroat, really tough organic stuff. But then there's also the thought of, even if you don't do buying of links and followers and, you know, likes or anything, what if someone else is doing it to you? What if someone is paying people to, you know, go out and review you poorly? What if someone is going out there and just buying you tons of spammy followers?
So the negative marketing, so to speak.
What's that?
So the negative marketing, so to speak, or people call it negative SEO, but it goes beyond SEO, because when you're talking about the stuff that you are, whether it be reviews or bad links or bad followers or whatever, it's just negative marketing is what I've kind of called it.
And I just saw it the other day for a place that hasn't even opened by me. Someone, it's the one little brewery, and they're supposed to be opening this month. So I just did a quick search, cause I forgot their website name. So I just did a quick search and their Google reviews came up, and they have 3 reviews. I'm like, they haven't even opened.
So of course, so someone's being proactive.
So of course I looked, and one of them is a, historical figure that they used the name of, and then they gave it a 1-star and they said like all sorts of nasty things. And I'm like, how could their soup, whatever it was, taste like that? I'm like, 1, they don't serve food. 2, they're not even open.
Wow.
So, you know, there's people out there that are either jealous or just vindictive, and they want to take you down, or they're bored. Who knows?
Well, yeah, that reminds me of, we in our area, we just had a Cane's open, a Raising Cane's chicken place. And I love the place, but it was funny because I went in there and like I started looking, and it's brand new. And I started looking at all the reviews, and like the first 3 are all reviews of how horrible it is, but yet they jump immediately into how awesome Popeyes is that's around the corner. And they all look very similar to how they were written, and they all look very fishy. And I wonder if there's an employee of Popeyes that's doing this to Kane. Anyway, it's just like, how do you know what to trust anymore?
It's getting tougher, yeah. Especially about reviews. And Amazon went through, because people were basically paying for reviews on there and purged a lot of stuff. And I know Yelp does it, and they all do it. So, I mean, the pro is, if you can get away with it, you can probably impact your bottom line pretty nicely in the right way. The problem is...
Jumping into that con though, the question that I wanted to ask you is, you know, is there any legal ramifications at this point for buying links or followers or likes?
There's a current investigation right now into a company that was selling followers and retweets and different things. It was some sort of, I don't want to call them an agency, but they were some sort of service. Mm-hmm. And they're being investigated in 2 or 3 states as of the writing of the New York Times article, because they're impersonating people. And they're impersonating people and then using it for marketing purposes without permission. Like, they were literally just jacking their Twitter names and bios and pictures.
Oh my gosh.
So there is going to be legal ramifications there.
So that, you know, that brings up another good point. So like for an agency like mine, where we have, you know, 40 employees, and we have lots of various clients and things like that, you know, and again, we don't do this, but I'm just trying to give advice for those that are maybe in the same situation as us or run a smaller agency that might be listening. You know, it's probably not a good idea for you to have a team of people that are just writing fake reviews or doing what you can to, like with what Dave just said, because I'm guessing, especially if this goes forward and there's some kind of a legal action, you know, there could be legal action coming down on an agency as well.
Yeah. Or even from their clients too, turning on them, which is, you know, would be your worst nightmare as an agency owner being sued and then looking and going, whoa, on multiple levels, we're in trouble.
Right.
So, but yeah, I mean, the pros, there are pros, but I think the pros are always short term. But I think in some cases, likes and followers and retweets and stuff, I think likes and retweets, let me rephrase that. Or even, you know, anything like that, or what is it, love or likes or something on Twitter?
Yeah,
I think it can spruce up your engagement stuff. So if you're an influencer, short term, you get a boost. But then what happens if you add a bunch of followers and friends and stuff and they don't engage long term? It's going to hurt you. So I think there's short term boosts from buying links. You know, depending on your vertical, if you get caught with your hand in the cookie jar, you can. I know people that have told me that they quote anywhere from 10 to 20 grand for link cleanups.
Wow.
I don't do those because they're the disavow requests and the digging and the looking at all the spam junk and all, you know, all the other links that are in there. And then you end up throwing out some good links because you just think there might be spam. So
yeah, I laugh at that. You know, I remember when Danny Sullivan shared the other day, you know, not several months ago, it was probably like a year ago, but, there was someone that, you know, some link building removal company that had requested they remove a link from Search Engine Journal because it looked questionable. And I'm like, that's the one that you want to keep, you idiots. So
perfect
to your point though. And so, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. You know, and again, I'm not innocent here. You know, I've been doing this in some form or another since 1997. So there's definitely been a lot of buying links on my side and look, you know, same with followers and likes and things like that. And so what I've seen, again, you're right, just short term, it can prove some value short term and even long term if you don't get caught. But the second that you get caught, you just have to realize, hey, am I willing to start things over? You know, like one of the, you know, a friend of mine, in fact, you're going to be speaking at a conference that where you're diving into different problems that websites have. And I mentioned this specific company to you, but same deal. You know, they've had audit after audit after audit done trying to figure out why they can't get any kind of Google love. And they've cleaned up everything that they thought. But, you know, back in the day, they definitely engaged in some shady practices with link building. And, you know, there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong on their site now. And they've disavowed everything. I mean, it's perfect. And, you know, they think probably one of the reasons why they just can't get any love was because of their past behavior. And so
the rap sheet with Google.
Yeah, exactly. The rap sheet with Google. And so, you know, at this point they're trying to make the decision of, well, should we just wait it out, continue? Like how many years can we wait this out? Trying, you know, hoping that the brand survives versus, you know, just creating a brand new page and putting it up because we're seeing people that are coming into our space only 2 or 3 months old that are outranking us for some of our biggest terms.
Ouch.
So yeah, I mean, there's the risk right there.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we've done a great job confusing the hell out of people as far as what to do. But again, you know, just wrapping it up with my 2 cents and then I'll let you give your final thoughts. But, you know, always try to do everything that you can as up and up as possible. Just realize that if you do get into any kind of link buying, you know, any kind of buying of followers, any kind of buying of, you know, likes or whatever across the board, whether it be for Facebook, Twitter, you know, Pinterest, Google, whatever, you know, there may be some consequences, not maybe if you're caught, there's definitely going to be some consequences. And can you survive those consequences?
Yeah, there are no shortcuts, but if you do try to take one, just know that, you know, you might get there quicker, but you're still, people are still going to get there just like you are. And you might be opening up a can of worms that they aren't.
So I know I said I'd wrap it up, but you said something that made me want to ask you one more question. So what do you do when you get the person that comes to you that says, you know, I've been doing this for many years and I still am ranking on the second page. And I see that this company, they're brand new and they're already ranking on the first page. And, you know, I could see that they're buying links or they're buying fake followers, but they're ranking number one. Like, shouldn't we be doing that? Like, how, you know, how do you answer someone like that? Cause I mean, they bring up a valid point, the whole purpose of what we're talking about, but how do you answer that person?
What is your taste for risk?
There you go. So you're okay with it as long as they're okay with it and you have it in writing and look, this is risky.
Depending on what it is, if it's buying a whole lot of links and stuff, I'm not a link builder. I would ping a couple people that I know that build links and say, hey, this person is very aggressive. Can you do this type of work or do you know someone else that we can recommend?
Gotcha.
But yeah, I would go the, what is your taste for risk? What if you get banned by Google for a month, 3 months, 6 months? Like, what is that going to do? What's your plan? You know, what happens if it's in 3 years and you get banned for 6 months? Is it worth it for you? Not that anyone can guarantee that, but you know, that's what you need to do for your business and stuff.
Well, that was, you know, hopefully those that were listening that were kind of on the fence and all this stuff, maybe that answered some questions, maybe it didn't, but Dave and I are always available. You know, both of us are on Twitter all the time. And, you know, we'll be happy to answer any questions that you have about any of this stuff. Just ping us. Just let us know what's going on. And so we talked about a lot of different websites today. We talked about a lot of different things. And so anything that we referenced will definitely be added into the post once this is live. And so for Dave Rohr with Northside Metrics, I'm Matt Siltel with Avalanche Media. And we will see you on the next one. Thanks, guys.
Later.